Blog Talk Radio.
We have been trained to hate ourselves and love white people.
We still are exploited as a people. We're constantly fighting for resources.
We've never been citizens, except on paper.
The participants of this are normally victims of this neo-colonialist system.
You're listening to the voices of New Africa. Free the land. Free the land. Free the land.
We declare our right on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the rights of a human being in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence by any means necessary.
And we are here once again. Welcome to the Voices of New Africa, the show dedicated to the liberation of new African people. As always, you are joining us here as we engage in intellectual conversation that is relevant to the new African community. And as always, we will be joined by some of the brightest minds in the new African community. But we want to start out by shining the spotlight on an event, a person, or an organization that played an instrumental role in the struggle for liberation for new African people. And today is a very special day because today is May the 1st, and it actually marks the 150-year anniversary of an event that happened locally right here in Memphis, Tennessee, that no one ever talks about. It is missed the history books for some reason, but it was a significant event right here. This marks the 150-year anniversary of the 1866 massacre right here in Memphis, Tennessee. See, in 1866, on May 1st, began a Rosewood-style massacre where angry whites murdered, massacred, almost an entire African community right here in Memphis, Tennessee. So let's talk about this. It all started actually on April 1st with the beating of four African men here in Memphis, Tennessee, basically because they were being pushed off of the sidewalk by local authorities, white authorities. And one of the officers tripped over one of the black men as they pushed them, you know, off of the sidewalk. And because he tripped over him, they beat them with their pistols. So fast forward to the next day, May 1st, there were a group of African men on the corner of South Street. And apparently they had been drinking. So the police, the local authority came down. And these men were actually discharged soldiers. They had fought in the Civil War. And this, you know, this particular class of people had a lot of, you know, the white power structure, especially the poor whites, had a lot of animosity with African soldiers and Africans in general. But the police came down and they began to harass these men, and a confrontation occurred. And during this confrontation, one of the police officers injured his finger, and another police officer drawed his gun and shot himself with his own gun. Now let me say that again. One officer injured his finger, and another officer shot himself by accident with his own gun. And this caused the rest of the officers to be outraged. And they began to shoot into a crowd of innocent African men, women, and children, killing several of them. So this was a massacre within itself, just the cause of the overall massacre. But following this event, following this tragedy, the whites in the community were outraged. You would think that it would be the African community that would be outraged, since many of them were just murdered. But it was the white community that was outraged. and they began to meet on the corner of Vance Street. And an individual who was the city recorder by the name of John C. Craven made a passionate speech urging all of the whites in the community to pick up their guns and go to the African community and kill every last one of them and march them out of Memphis. And essentially, this is what happened. A mob of whites for the next 4 days invaded the African community, murdering, robbing, raping, burning houses, burning buildings for the next 4 days. There were women and children who were shot in their bed as they slept. This one sister by the name of Rachel Johnson was shot and then her body thrown back into a burning house. There were armed white men who would burn down a house and then guard the doors with their guns to make sure that the occupants of the house were not able to escape. As we said, this happened for 4 days, from May 1st to May 4th. And this event, this tragedy, this massacre, this crime against humanity is something that we don't, for the most part, don't even know about right here in the city of Memphis, Tennessee. We don't talk about it in our history books. I haven't heard any celebrations or any memorials going on this weekend. In fact, I think on this show, this is the first time I've heard mention of it. As a result of the massacre, there were 3 African churches burned, 8 schools, 5 of them which belonged to the government, 50 private homes were burned, several homes and individuals were robbed of their property and monies and earnings. There were several people murdered, and no one ever paid for it. No one was ever brought to justice for this crime against our people. So on this day, 150 years later, after the massacre in Memphis, Tennessee in 1866, we want to honor our ancestors who paid the ultimate price in this system of white supremacy and gave their lives in this demonic, inhumane system that has to go. But we want to shine a spotlight. We want to remember the massacre of 1866 right here in Memphis, Tennessee. And that leads us to our topic for today. Are we prepared to defend our community? Now, a lot of people may say, well, you know, hey, it's a different time. It's a different date. There's no need to be concerned about defending our community today because, you know, that was back in the past. But if you look at things, if you pay close attention, first of all, our people are still being attacked in several ways. But our people are still being attacked. And if you understand, because I'm a survivalist, you know, I believe in protecting myself. I believe in protecting my family, protecting my community, protecting my nation. And when I say nation, I'm talking about the Black nation. So I study self-defense, self-offense, military tactics. But I'm not the only one who does this. There are a lot of people who do this. Unfortunately, most of them don't look like me. Most of them are these European people, the people who are energized by statements made by Donald Trump. These good old boys, Perry, these people are outraged. They don't want you taking their guns, which I'm not an advocate for taking people's guns away, but these people, they want to keep their guns because they are preparing for us. They are preparing to kill our children. I see them all of the time. They're at the local gun shows. They're at the gun shops. They're preparing. They're out in the woods. They're shooting all type of high caliber weapons, training their children. So that's the question we want to answer today. Are we prepared to defend our community? You know, not from, from all threats, internal and external. You know, because we understand we have, there's a serious internal enemy that has been produced from living under this system of white supremacy and capitalism. I mean, are we prepared? And if we're not, should we be preparing? And I think I have my brother Kakayi on the line. Brother Kakayi, are you there?
Yes,
brother
Kakayi. Free the land.
Free the land.
Free the land.
I am, I will. So, brother, what do you think? Are we prepared to defend our community? And if we're not prepared, should we be prepared to defend our community? And why? You know, just your thoughts. Grab any of those topics that you want to.
Well, they all kind of, you know, you've done a brilliant job. They all kind of tie in together, you know. Number one, are we prepared really stems from knowing your history and knowing who your enemy is. And, you know, I'm a firm believer that when they show themselves the first time, believe them. Don't try to figure out that they'll be someone different later on 50 years from now. Believe them the first time they show themselves. And so when we talk about, and it's brilliant how you brought in the Memphis Massacre 1866, because we had an opportunity at that time to protect and defend ourselves. And basically, because of that, the European colonial put into effect certain things to allow them to have the advantage. Number one, when we were heavily armed, because the freedmen, the black people who were here, that began to defend themselves against the police officers in Memphis, were actually soldiers after the Civil War who had come to Memphis, and they stood up like men and women and defended themselves. And we have to recognize that we began to fight and protect ourselves, and then the European colonialists exercised their power over us by stripping our men out, saying, hey, we got to stop fighting our white people down there. And all the military, a majority of military guys that were fighting for us got shipped to Fort Pickering, so that they wouldn't be able to defend our community. And then, as you mentioned, these ruthless, havoc, demons, devils started killing out helpless civilians by burning up schools and churches and burning up houses. And then we realized that the white police officers and the firemen weren't helping, protecting and serving us, because they allowed the houses, they allowed the schools to burn down. And you can guarantee that the descendants of these same people are still here today, and they have already shown their face the first time. So believe them when I say that we have to be prepared to protect and defend ourselves, because we'll encounter the same circumstances and situations from these demons. And so, to answer your question, are we prepared at certain levels in certain communities, in certain conscious communities that we have? We are prepared, but we're not prepared to protect all of our community. Just like they showed us in 1866, the ones that they'll enact something that will eliminate the ones who are prepared, and then they'll attack defenseless civilians in our community because they're not prepared. So We are prepared to a certain level, but being prepared to protect our whole community, we're not at that level yet, but we are slowly getting to that point. And we need to be steadfast in spreading information that these are our enemies, and we have to protect and defend ourselves. So when they talk about a national ban on possession of firearms, trust me and know that that law is put in place to make sure that black people don't have arms, not white people, because they're preparing for the senseless killing and massacre of our people and our community. So wake up, people. Protect and defend yourselves. Don't worry about any white man laws, because the laws of nature say that your first instinct should be for survival. And we need to make sure that we can protect and defend ourselves so we can survive as a species of people.
Excellent point. Well said. And it's interesting that you brought up the fact that, you know, we realized in 1866 with the massacre, the Memphis Massacre, right here in Memphis, Tennessee, that it was obvious that the firemen and the policemen and all of the local authorities were not going to protect us. But I mean, if you do the research, you actually find that firemen and police officers and other authorities actually participated in this massacre. They were some of the main participants. So that's an interesting point. And as Brother Malcolm, you know, pointed out, self-defense is simply common sense. So excellent point. So, you know, as you stated, it's obvious that for a community as a whole, as a people as a whole, we're not prepared to defend ourselves, although there are probably pockets, and I say probably because I probably don't want to put out too much information, but there are probably pockets within, you know, different communities spread out who are preparing, you know, different conscious sections of community who value the self-preservation of our people, who take the time and prepare, you know, on a defense level. But overall, we're not. So, you know, I want to continue this. Like, should we actually be prepared? Or is this something that we just over-exaggerating about? Is this something we shouldn't be worried about? I have my sister Sa'anx on the line. Sister Sa'anx, are you still there? Hello, Sister Sa.
Yes. Free the land.
Free the land. I am, I will. So what do you think? Should we be preparing to defend our communities against all threats, you know, internal, external, national disaster, whatever it is?
Oh, well, most definitely. Like you, both of you guys mentioned before, it's just common sense to do that. Every animal in the animal kingdom has a self-defense mechanism. So us as humans, who are supposed to be the highest form of being on the planet, should naturally tap into those natural instincts to defend ourselves against those that are attacking and that have been attacking for centuries. So that's common sense. We have to get out of the mind frame of upholding the so-called United States law that has nothing to do with us. Within the Constitution, we are not even considered citizens. We're three-fifths of human beings. They have not changed that. They have not changed the way that they have viewed us, period. That's how it is. So we got to get out of this mind frame of, oh, the justice system, the people, the government, all of these folks actually care, because that's not the case. So quite naturally, we have to defend ourselves by any means necessary, by any means necessary. Be stocking up food, be training, be learning how to use firearms, whatever, creating your own. We need to be doing what we need to do to protect ourselves and our families and our communities and our nation from these beasts.
Excellent point. And I think of a quote by actually our first president. When I say our first president, I'm talking about the first president of the black nation, Republic of New Africa, Robert Williams. He stated, he talked about a dog. You can take a dog in his you know, his home, his master's home. And if you try to come onto his master's property, the dog will viciously attack you. I mean, viciously just attack you, let you get nowhere near it. But you can take that same dog, put him outside of his environment, like down the street somewhere. And you see that same dog, and you up there, you look at him, and you just step to him, and he'll run. And the reason, you know, people seem confused, like why, for the inconsistency of behavior. Why in this environment is he so vicious? Is he so ready to attack? But then you take him outside of his of that environment, and he just runs. And he explained it like this, just like African people here in America. See, the dog has only been trained to defend and protect his master. It has not been trained to defend and protect himself. And that's the same with African people here in America. See, we have been trained to defend and protect white people. See, black people don't rise up against white people, European people, because we have not been trained to do so. And that leaves our community vulnerable for any type of attack that these Europeans want to launch on us. So it's important, it's crucial that we begin to train and organize in a way that will give us the necessary skills that will protect us from anything. And I'm not just talking about, you know, about the human element. What if, you know, tomorrow we wake up and there's some kind of nuclear spill or some martial law is enacted and all of the stores are shut down and you just it's a disaster type situation, or major earthquake, and we find ourselves in a scenario like people down in New Orleans during Hurricane Katrina. You know, how long could we survive? Do we have enough water to for every member of your family to survive 6 months? What about 3 months? What about 3 weeks? Could we survive 3 days? You know, most of us would be come running out of the house about to die after a couple of days because we're just not prepared. And that's something that we as a people, understanding our history, understanding of the past and not so, you know, not so distant past either. We should learn from the examples of history and be prepared. But I definitely want to talk to my sister, one of our master teachers. Let me get her home. Sister Ayodele. Mama Ayodele, are you here?
Yes, free the land, brother.
Free the land, I am, I will. So what do you think? Should we be preparing to defend our community? Are we prepared? You know, what are your thoughts, sister?
Well, I think that we're really analyzing history and analyzing our journey here in America since the year of 1619. We've always been on the defense. We've always been trying to fight for freedom and self-determination. However, over time, all of our attempts have been, I should say, lessened because we have been integrated into a system. The only system that we are aware of has been imperialism and capitalism. And of course, there's always been the system of white supremacy and racism, which we have, as a people, have tried to just have our defenses work within the system. But those are our people who have decided to, I would say, bow down. Decided to say, well, if we can't beat this system, we will be a part of this system. When we pledge allegiance to the flag, when we join the armed services, the police force, the National Guard, we have taken the ideal that we are here to serve and defend a nation that does not appreciate or even acknowledge the labor, the killings, the inbreedings, the what we call the genetic manipulations of a people to build this country into the empire it is today. So when we talk about having to defend a nation, we ask ourselves as an African people here in America, We have a nation, we have a culture, we have a spirituality, we have a mindset. It is directly opposed to what we call white supremacy, racism, imperialism, neocolonialism. The trick or the task is, how do you begin to defend yourself? First of all, you have to defend yourself mentally, spiritually. You have to deal with your food. You have to deal with medicine. It is on all levels when we talk about attack. The basics, looking at how we are oppressed in this country, how we are violated every day, our human rights, not just our civil rights. I don't even think we either should be talking about civil rights. We should be talking about human rights, how even the basic educational system is directly opposed to our African mindset. So we have to even look at how we view food, how we view diet, how we view the medical system, how we even view how we look at each other. Are we going to set up perimeters in the community where the young men and women who are in organizations, when the time comes and we feel that there is an aggressor that does not happen to look like us but may be us, to serve and defend? When you talk about the internal enemy, that is a circumstance of our blight in the community, where since we don't have it as a people, we aren't able to produce our own, to sell our own things, we will take it. That's just part of how they keep us always on the defensive. And those are the things that we have to talk about, have serious conversations about, because on every level of our lives, we're constantly on the defense. And the trick is to become on the offense. That, to me, is a big part of knowing that we are a nation, that we have a nation. We've declared ourselves independent. We are the Republic of New Africa. We do have a nation, and it is tied in with the worldwide African movement, as well as the Third World movement, to shake off those the imperialist, neocolonialist nations that try to take the wealth and the labor of all of our lands and put it to the service of just themselves. That is what we talk about, defense, and what we have to do is begin to unite, begin to look at each other, that you and I are not the enemies of ourselves. We have an enemy. That external enemy is very, very clear, very, very clear. And if you don't see that as the enemy, then you have to ask yourself, am I a part of the African nation, or am I going to be used as a tool against the African nation? Free the land, brother.
Free the land. Wow, that was so on point, sister. I almost want to end the show right now and just leave it at that, because you just killed it. But, I mean, you are absolutely correct. I mean, one of the first things we have to do is we have to change our mindset, because we have been so indoctrinated. You know, I go back to the example of Robert Williams when he says, you know, that black people have not been trained to kill white people. Black people have not been trained to defend ourselves. We have been trained to defend European and the European power structure, because we have been indoctrinated into this system of white supremacy, neocolonialism, imperialism, and capitalism. And when we do things like join the army with the mindset that we're going to defend our freedom, first of all, it's not our freedom. You know, we're defending what we're really doing is we're defending a system that has benefited from the collective exploitation of our people. So we have to change that mindset. We have to understand that this system has not been designed for us. It does not benefit us. It's a collective. You know, but before we get out of here, because time is rolling by, I want to get some, you know, a brief summation from everyone, you know, brief solutions. You know, what can we do, even though Sister Ayodele just kind of knocked it out of the park? But I want to get an opportunity to hear from all of our bright scholars. So, Brother Kakaye, are you still there?
Yes, Brother. Free the land.
Free the land. I am, I will. So what do you think? What are some of the things that we need to be doing? What should we be focusing on right now?
You know, we touched upon some things last week, and we kind of today, you know, and that education, like and Queen Ayodele and Queen Sa mentioned previously. But, you know, there's so much we have to do. Training and education is one of the main things that we have to focus on, because we not only have to prepare ourselves as adults and young adults to defend and protect our community, but we have to raise a generation of children that has that same mindset and believe that we will win and we will be able to protect and defend ourselves. So we have to train our youth. We have to educate our youth about our history so that they won't make the same mistakes that we or our forefathers have made trying to acquiesce to the leadership of our oppressor. You know, and then we must begin to militarily teach them martial arts, teach them how to use firearms, teach them how to protect and defend their community, understanding that there is a real threat. And as long as we keep them and as long as they remain in this system of education that they have established for us, they will never begin to understand or recognize that there is a major threat to our community. And so we have to lead and guide them in the right direction, and that is we have to know our history and we have to prepare militarily to defend and protect ourselves. And the only way we can do that is start teaching our new generation, our children, taking control of their education and their training. That's one that we need to tackle now, and it's something that we can't start right now if it hasn't already began to happen. Free the land, brother.
Great. Free the land. I am, I will. Excellent point, especially when you talk about educating our children, because this is something that happens too many times. I remember when I grew up, you know, when I my political, racial, historical education didn't actually come from my parents. You know, no disrespect to them or anything like this, but for a lot of people in my generation, our parents didn't really educate us on the real world, how things actually were. Even though, you know, me growing up in Mississippi, I you know, there's certain things that were just obvious, certain things we just knew. But my real political, military, well, not military, but political, racial, historical education started by listening to rap groups like Public Enemy, X-Clan, these conscious rap groups who made me first question, you know, what was going on. And a lot of people around my generation, you know, that's how we became so-called conscious. And I look at what happens today with this generation. A lot of the youth of today, they only begin to really learn about how the world really is, how it really operates, about white supremacy, about the system, from all of the killings of our unarmed black men and women by the police. The whole, you know, this most recent movement against the system. But, you know, up until that point, many of the youth of today just were clueless about how the real world operates. So it's important that we break that cycle, because it happens almost every generation. And you can hear people talk about, I don't want to teach my children that. I don't want to teach my children that. But we're doing them a disservice if we don't. So excellent point, brother. And I want to go to my sister Ayodele. I mean, my man, Sister Sonksa. Is Sister Sonksa there? Yes, not. Sister Ayodele, are you still there?
Yes, free the land, brother.
Free the land. I am, I will. So, before we get out of here, what are some brief solutions? Because I know we're about to get cut off.
So just to be ever really vigilant and begin to analyze. We shouldn't be taking everything that we receive at face value, because we do have an African mindset. Although we've been here, 19, and we've been enslaved, and we've been under an educational system that does not maximize our talents, our beliefs, our spirituality, whatever, we need to always be vigilant. Why is it that we are so confused? Our home life, our community life, our nation life has been aggressed upon. Why is it that we have a revolving cycle of medical issues, from allergies all the way up to high blood pressure. Food, we have to think about how our food is being produced for us, since we no longer produce for ourselves. Why is it that what we consume sends us to the hospital and back again? And sometimes when you're ill, you don't think well. Look at the manner and the type of television that we are exposing our children to. Look at what is on Facebook. We have to begin to guide and to talk to one another and our children about what is really real. What is it that we should be looking at? If this is the land of so-called opportunity, milk and honey, why is it that African people who built this nation is still at the bottom of the rung when we should be just as prosperous, just as informed, just as technologically advanced as the rest of the world? Because they have used us as beasts of burden to build their empire and then at the same time want to aggress upon us and eliminate us, particularly since we as a dominant species produce effectively and their particular race does not. And there are so many other things that we need to be analyzing and tuning into. It isn't because there's a reason why we ruled, and I'm talking about ancient times, we ruled in a certain fashion because we were in harmony with the earth. If you look at capitalism, imperialism, the way it is spread all over the earth, it is not even in harmony with the earth. And so therefore, how are we supposed to be in harmony with it? They're not even, we see the extreme example of man's aggression against man in the most detrimental and inhumane form ever in the world. And, of course, we just need to be ever vigilant and be ever loving towards one another as a nation, race, people, and family, and begin to work with those things that we find that are difficult in our lives, in our children's lives, in our parents' lives, in our brothers and sisters' lives, and look at ourselves as one family. We always go to Marcus Mosiah Garvey. We have one God, we have one aim, we have one destiny, we have one blessed African nation, and after God, he says, there should be race first.
Exactly. Well said, well put, and we are just about out of time, but we've had an excellent show. If you have not had the opportunity to look up the massacre of 1866 in Memphis, Tennessee, please look it up. It will probably be under the Memphis riots of 1866, but we understand by just researching and seeing what happened, that wasn't a riot, that was a massacre of our people. Look it up. This is the 150th year anniversary, actually starting today. So, as always, we want to thank all of our guests, some of the brightest minds in the New African community. We will see you again next week, same place, same time, dropping more jewels and having intellectual conversation about things that are relevant to the liberation of New African people. Free the land.
We have been trained to hate ourselves and love white people.
We still are exploited as a people. We're constantly fighting for resources.
We've never been citizens, except on paper.
The participants of this are normally victims of this neo-colonialist system.
You're listening to the voices of New Africa. Free the land. Free the land.
We declare our right on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the rights of a human being in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence by...